Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Welcome to another Burden and Blessing podcast. I'm Pastor Mark Tiefel, and joining me today is Pastor Sam Rodabaugh. And we're going to be discussing somewhat a unique topic today, looking at two sports celebrities in our culture and a couple of recent events with them that touch on elements of our Christian faith. So, Sam, good to have you with us today, and I'm excited to talk about this with you. The two people that we are looking at are Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers quarterback, and then Kobe Bryant. And I'm sure many people of our listeners know in the last week about the passing of Kobe Bryant. But starting with Aaron Rodgers, Sam, tell us a little bit about the context here of how the topic of the Christian faith came up in the last couple of weeks with the life of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, first of all, that's my quarterback, and one of those situations that I don't necessarily want to know more about him than what he does on the field.
I'm guessing that'll be the same for many of our listeners. You know, he's a Green Bay Packers quarterback.
Yeah, I got a lot of texts and things from people that were, you know, upset at what they heard, and that's because in Packer country, we love the Packers, we love Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, he's always been known as a Christian. It was, you know, kind of our general idea of where he stood spiritually, and in more recent years, you know, some things have come out about his beliefs that weren't quite as, you know, widely made known as this recent interview, that made me start to question where he stood spiritually. And then it was just at the end of December, I think, he was on a podcast, or maybe it was the beginning of January, he was on a podcast with his girlfriend, his current girlfriend, Danica Patrick, former NASCAR driver.
Another celebrity.
Yep, yeah. She has a podcast where she just interviews all these celebrities and goes into what makes them unique and things like that. And so she worked her way up to her boyfriend, Aaron Rodgers. She said on the podcast she was nervous to talk about him with it because he's extremely intelligent, as she said, and other things. And one of the things they touched on early and throughout the podcast kind of was religion and spirituality. And Aaron Rodgers touched on, you know, what he grew up in and where he stands now. And it was really just kind of depressing all around.
Yeah, well, give us some detail here about, based on what Aaron Rodgers talked about, what kind of church did he grow up in? I mean, we don't typically analyze every belief system of every celebrity, but it, like you mentioned, in this case, for most of his life, he was a professing Christian, and in the public sense too, kind of giving off that aura of being a Christian. And sometimes when individuals like that who confess Christ backtrack on that and end up denying those beliefs, that can be hard for Christians to handle when they claim to have come from that background. But based on what Aaron Rodgers talked about, what kind of background of the Christian faith do you think he had?
Well, you know, what church he belonged to, we're not sure, but, you know, some of the teachings he alluded to, and we'll get into that later, you know, some of the teachings he alluded to kind of help us understand where he's coming from. But, you know, just to give the listeners here a feel for his church, you know, he kept describing throughout this podcast about, you know, it was a large church. He'd go every single Sunday with his family, but he said there was big church, and then the children would always get sent off into, you know, little church rooms. He said, you know, didn't necessarily love big church, but he always really liked little church. And as you went up, you go into different sections, and he said, you know, you play games, and he mentioned in the podcast that he used to throw stink bombs with some of his friends during church. You know, he's talking about the little church rooms and stuff like that. So, you know, not necessarily the same type of church that many of our conservative Lutheran listeners are familiar with. You know, it was really a segmented church body where the adults would stay in big church and everyone else, you know, just went and did their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he talked, the word that stuck out to me when he was describing church is that he wanted it to be fun.
Right.
And that's what he almost like he was kind of that chill, relaxed Californian guy that the stereotype we have in our mind of just wanting to have a good time. Let's look at a couple of the direct things he said about church and about his beliefs today. One of the quotes that stuck out to me, he said this. He said, rules, regulations, and binary systems don't resonate with me. What does he mean by that in the context of church?
Well, you know, he has the misconception that so many people have about, you know, more conservative theology. Or really church and Christian church in general, but especially more conservative the church is, this is the idea people have that it's all it is rules or binary systems. You know, I've heard former Catholics say, you know, I was Catholic, but I got sick of all the rules. And, you know, of course, what overall someone like this or Aaron Rodgers is referring to is they're referring to, you know, the law. I'm pretty sure, you know, that with many things in life, specifically morality, there is black and white, and it's black and white as dictated by God. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem to necessarily see that as something that's dictated by God, but rather a man-made sort of thing that the church erects in order to make themselves stand out and put other people down.
Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous to deny those elements of what God says because it turns into just this free-for-all subjective playing field where it's all based on opinion and feeling. And it felt like a lot of his thoughts came from that feeling-based perspective of what he wanted to believe in, the path he wanted to choose, what others might want for themselves instead of looking at religion as something dictated by God. And that certainly can be a dangerous pitfall to jump into.
Yeah, he had said those exact words. He said, you know, what I wanted. It wasn't necessarily what I wanted out of religion.
Exactly. Yeah.
After the binary systems quote that you said, he said, you know, eventually he found the path to spirituality, which was really much more meaningful for him. You know, a quote I read or heard once was, you know, to be spiritual and not religious means that you worship a God that doesn't speak. And I think that's perfect description of this quote-unquote spirituality outside of religion. You know, the Bible, we have a God that does speak. You know, that is God's words being spoken to us, not only what is right and what is wrong, but what he's done in order to save us from our sins. But if you want to be free of all of that and just be spiritual, then you want to worship a God of your own creation, and then there is no God speaking. It's only you speaking and crafting God in your own image. And sadly, that, you know, that's the religion that Aaron Rodgers has crafted for himself.
Yeah. Here's another quote that he had. He said, religion can be a crutch, something people have to have to make themselves feel better. If you were in a room with Aaron Rodgers, how would you respond to that statement?
Well, I was actually talking about this with my confirmation class this morning. And, you know, one of the kids said, well, it is a crutch for the weak. And it's true, you know, in the right sense, Christianity, religion, the true Christian religion is absolutely a crutch for the weak. You know, we understand that we are weak, that we are poor, that we have nothing to bring to the Lord, nothing to offer to the Lord, that, you know, apart from him, we have no strength resting in ourselves to earn our way to salvation. So absolutely, it's not just a crutch. It's the, you know, thinking of football, it's the cart they carry the people on to get them off the field. You know, that's what religion is. God has to carry us off the field into heaven. But, you know, in Aaron Rodgers' mind, and what a lot of people mean when they say this, is not spiritually weak or dead in sin. He says, you know, crutch for the weak, like the weak-minded. After that, he was talking about the, you know, this duality of the church. He says there's the, you know, it's a crutch for the weak that's supposed to make us feel better about ourselves. He says it's all us versus them, or saved versus unsaved, or heaven versus hell, holy and righteous versus sinner and filthy. He says it's all just meant to make you feel better. And, okay, in a sense, yeah, religion is meant to make us feel better, but it only from the proper perspective. His idea is that we as Christians craft these labels in order to just make ourselves feel better in a way that isn't truly represented in reality. Whereas, you know, all of these things, which he said, saved, unsaved, heaven, hell, holy, righteous, sinner, filthy, you know, these are biblical terms, but these are declarations of God. And it's when God declares it about us through Christ, his son, that all of a sudden I can start to feel good, in his words.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not looking at it through the lens of Christ. He's looking at it through the lens of exclusivity, that here I am just getting together with people that look like me and talk like me and excluding everyone else on man-made terms.
Yeah. I think what we see with Aaron Rodgers and what he says is what happens when you grow up in a church that really doesn't have the gospel. I don't think he's really ever fully grasped what the unconditional gospel is, because it seems like every time the gospel or the work of Christ was taught to him or preached to him, it was done so in terms of the law, as almost a new law that makes the person better on their own terms and in their own way. And that's certainly not what church is. His statement reminded me of the familiar saying that church is not a museum for the saints, but a hospital for the sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Aaron Rodgers needs is a healthy taste of what a confessional church is like, a church where people are openly and honestly admitting their sins before God, not talking about anybody else's life, but talking about their own and what they've done wrong and why they need Christ. It almost sounds like he's never experienced that before. And that leads me to the next spot that I wanted to talk about with you. And that is, you know, you mentioned we don't know exactly what I think he maybe mentioned the name of his church. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But we don't know exactly what his total background of church was like. But it sounds like it was kind of the non-denominational format, almost maybe a mega church with some of the characteristics he right. described. And he mentions a number of points of theology actually as well. He talks about the concept of the 144,000 people only being saved in heaven, taking that term literally. He talks about God wanting to condemn people to hell. He talks about believing something because you feel it to be true. All of those points are theological elements of the, you know, evangelical, whatever you want to call it, Baptist type of theology that is so pervasive in American culture. So just share some thoughts with us based on our ability to recognize some of those things in what he says. Why is that especially dangerous for Christians in America? Why do they need to be especially conscious and aware of that type of theology of Christianity?
Well, all of it really robs us of, you know, the assurances that we have through Christ's cross. I mean, you know, the 144,000 thing is referring to the false millennialist view that comes from Revelation. Revelation, which is given as a what do we call that?
Apocalyptic figurative literature.
Yeah, figurative language. It's apocalyptic language. You know, it starts out, John's like, I saw a vision. In the vision, we have Jesus with a sword protruding out of his mouth. You know, clearly this is all visionary language. And part of that, he says 144,000. This is he's essentially saying this will be my complete church that I will gather together with me. Not a single one will be lost. And yet so many have taken that and run it and said 144,000 is literal. And, you know, like Aaron Rodgers was saying in the podcast, this was right on the heels of the duality. He was talking about holy and righteous and sinner and filthy. He said, we can sit here and say, well, we're going to be saved, and there's only 144,000 saved, even though, and he brought it up, and he was correct. He said, even though there's 7 billion people in this world and even more, you know, through history. He said that doesn't make sense, and really it doesn't.
No,
it doesn't.
But not
make
just,
sense.
But not just because you feel it, because of what the Bible says too.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's going back to the Word of God ultimately that helps us realize that's not the case.
Yeah, it you know that whole mindset, this 144,000 thing, it can really, well, the whole millennialist mindset in general can just kind of make you complacent. And say, well, whatever's going to happen, happens, and I'm going to be saved. I know I'm with the 144, and, you know, my neighbor over here is not, and just, well, whatever. And that really leads to this double predestination mindset. You know, he was referring specifically to predestination when he said, you know, God wants to condemn most of the planet.
He can't believe in a God like that.
Yeah, that would send anyone to hell, that would want to condemn most of the planet. And, you know, it's this this idea that if God says he has predestined some to heaven, well, then what he doesn't say in the Bible must also be true, that he predestined every single other person to hell. You know, the Calvinists, this is a huge part of their theology, that God does not want everyone to be saved. But the danger of that is, and clearly it turns God into a liar. God says, you know, God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not
the simplest Bible passage ever. God so loved the world. Yeah.
So, you know, every single one of these errors that he was fed growing up, you know, they're not just, you know, just an error here or there. They all go right back to the foundation of Christianity, which is God's grace through Christ Jesus. You know, it's Epiphany right now. The manifestation of God's grace in Jesus Christ. That's what the season's all about. And that is what's under attack by these millennialists' false teachings.
Yeah, which is why we need to continue testing the spirits, as God says, pointing these things out. That's what we're attempting to do in the podcast here, pointing out some of the dangers here, not railing on any individual or church or anything like that, but just showing people these are real matters for your faith, and they will affect the way you believe. Mm-hmm. The last question I had on Aaron Rodgers for you is, and this might be a bit of an opinion question, but what is the effect when a major personality like Aaron Rodgers says these things about Christianity?
Well, you know, this is just speaking as a Packer fan. And I'm a big Packer fan. And, you know, one of the things that bothers me about Packer fans, but it could go for any big sports fans of any team, you tend to raise the individual, you know, the star player that's, you know, on your team, that's yours and not anyone else's. You raise him above human status to, you know, not God status, but pretty close. You know, I would say like idolatry would be a pretty proper term for maybe what a lot of Packer fans do with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, not that anyone, I mean, I hope not anyone's just listening to what he says and says, yeah, I'm just going to go with that. But, you know, sometimes you get the sense in sports that people would maybe even listen to their star quarterback before they would listen to their pastor, you know.
Yeah.
And you think about if there's any young kids out there that just love Aaron Rodgers and, you know, just want to do everything like Aaron Rodgers, it's not so far-fetched to imagine that some kid was listening to this and really, you know, he's having some of the same questions, and instead of talking to his pastor, he's just like, oh yeah, that all makes really, you know, makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's discouraging, you know, as a Packer fan to hear all this. And it's just from the Christian perspective, it's extremely depressing to hear all this. But, you know, I hope that a lot of people are hearing those things and can just identify the error of his ways. But, you know, knowing the fan base and knowing his stature in there, the worry is that it could cause some people to go astray also. And I pray that's not the case.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that whether our sports figures are good Christians, solid Christians, or of another faith, we don't follow them and enjoy their personality because of their religious beliefs. That's not why we should, you know, listen to them or follow them. It's about sports, and that's a different field. And sometimes that attachment gets blurred, I believe, and I think you pointed out the danger of that pretty well. So for our listeners too, when it comes to the video we've been mentioning, or the podcast of Aaron Rodgers, we'll put that link in our comments section here of our podcast so that you can take a look at that for reference if you'd like. Moving on to the second sports celebrity we were going to address, obviously probably even a bigger story in the last week, and that is the death of Kobe Bryant. For those listening who are not aware, probably not very many people, but on Sunday – Kobe Bryant passed away in a helicopter crash just outside of Los Angeles. I believe there were 9 total people on board, including Kobe's younger daughter. it's been a huge topic. Mm. And I know you and I both follow sports podcasts. We are sports junkies, so we're obviously aware of it, but it's been a national story too. Mm. It's been a story that's touched a lot of people, not just in the sports scene. Give us some context. Why do you think this particular story with Kobe Bryant has been such a huge story in the last week?
Well, you know, I'm a big NBA fan, and I know you are too. And you know, Kobe Bryant, I mean, he's one of the top 10 players that have ever played. I mean, I don't think there's any argument about that. And you know, maybe some of you aren't super familiar with Kobe, but I'm sure you all know Michael Jordan. And you know, after Michael Jordan retired, there was a, we call it a passing of the torch, you know, from the best player on the planet, face of the NBA, passed it to Kobe Bryant. And you know, for my generation, I grew up just at the very end of Michael Jordan's playing days, and Kobe Bryant was, you know, the closest facsimile to Michael Jordan that there was, and he carried the torch. I'm sure a lot of people know who LeBron James is now, and Kobe carried that all the way through to, you know, the late 2000s, and then passed it off to LeBron James when LeBron James was ready to take it. You know, throughout the history of basketball, there's like, in every era, there's like one or two of these guys with some overlap. You have like Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell and, you know, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, and it just goes on down the line. The hardest part, I think, for all of us is, of all those guys, like these torchbearers for the sport that people still look up to and still have fond memories of, they're all alive except for Wilt Chamberlain, I think, is dead.
Yeah, and but now, he's a lot older too.
He played in the 60s, but now all of a sudden, you know, Kobe Bryant died. The sport is really not that old compared to, you know, like the MLB, for instance. So to have one of the greats die, and it's the most recent great, you know, it's so shocking, and like NBA players in general are probably just about the healthiest, you know, physically, you know. Mm-hmm. Right up there with soccer players, I think, you know, just physically healthy. And you look at them, and there's no wonder in your mind why they live to be 80, 90 years old, is because they have to be in peak physical health. And Kobe Bryant was that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was kind of the type of thing where you wouldn't expect that he could die in a helicopter crash, because
many people have expressed that it seemed like he would never die, like he was immortal, you know, right, because of his popularity and fame. And
right.
Yeah, I think just listening to people talk about hearing the news, shock and awe, is just, everybody felt that. And I felt that too. I was never a huge Kobe fan. I grew up, like you mentioned, I grew up in the Michael Jordan era, I think. But I also, you know, I was in high school and college when Kobe was in his prime. And so, you know, I think part of it too is that you feel so connected to these people, even though you've never met them, because they've been part of your life growing up. If you were really into sports, if you were really into basketball, Kobe was somebody that was just part of your life.
Yep.
And they're on your television sets, and they're in your living rooms, and they're on your computers and your phones, and you just see them all the time. And it's a fascinating thing that you feel so closely connected to somebody that you've never talked to.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of weird. And taking it now from that shock and awe perspective, what are some of the things about Kobe's situation or this reaction that we see around the world that touch upon our faith as Christians?
Well, you know, my first thought when it happened was, you know, I pulled up Twitter and I saw just a couple minutes ago TMZ was reporting it, and I thought, what? You know, I just...
Fake like, news, right?
I could not possibly believe it. Maybe like 10 or 12 more reports had to go by before all of a sudden I started comprehending it. It was just so shocking to me. And after I got over that initial thought, you know, my first thought was, boy, I hope he was ready. You know, I've never really considered Kobe's, you know, spiritual, you know, where he stood with God, you know, so to speak. I guess he was a practicing Catholic, at least.
Yeah, that's something I learned too.
Yeah, and I heard another podcast I was listening to, and you know, after his final game in the NBA, the reporter said, "What are you going to do tomorrow?" And he said, "Well, set my alarm for 5, go to mass, and then work out, and then go to the office." And, you know, from one standpoint, it's like, oh, you know, I'm glad that church is taking a priority. I wish it was conservative Lutheran instead of Catholic, yeah, obviously, yeah, for various reasons. But, you know, my first thought was really just hoping that he and, you know, for his daughter as well, had been raising them around God's word. And I don't, you know, totally know the answer to that. But, you know, you see all these people that are speaking about him. And, you know, as always happens when a celebrity dies, you know, they're immediately, you know, sainted, so to speak. You know, they're like, now they're looking down on us from heaven. They're a better place, yep, and all this different stuff.
Yep. You know, or as if, carried to the angels or
right,
whatever.
Right, yeah. And as if this is just an automatic, you know, thing for well-known people. And, you know, obviously we have a different understanding of, you know, salvation and forgiveness,
exactly,
and all that stuff. So, you know, that it always comes to the forefront of the death of a celebrity is, you know, the eternity question. After I die, where am I going to go? And, you know, sadly, so many people just automatically push these people into heaven without a doubt. And then, you know, I think a lot of people just kind of get this sense that God is this grandfatherly type of figure up in heaven, just kind of patting our heads and chuckling and say, "Oh, you know, sport, get on in here," and just, you know, bypassing our sins just cheaply, as if
just because we liked the person,
right?
You know, or we respected them. And yeah, that was, I think I had the same reaction when I first heard the news. I just immediately thought, no one's safe, really, in that sense. You know, it just, the total shock of somebody like Kobe dying just suddenly. There was an element of an unbelievable nature to it that, man, prioritize your life today, because no one knows the day or the hour in that sense of their own death. And it's one of those moments where, and this is one of the reasons we wanted to address it on the podcast, is because it's a week where people are confronted with death and life. And those are two things that we typically don't try to think about from week to week. I think most people, especially with death, they don't want to think about it. They overlook it. They try to ignore it. They try to act like it doesn't exist. Well, in a story like this, you can't avoid it.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that church is really one of the few places left in our society where we talk about death.
Yeah.
You think about it. Even in the doctor's office, maybe the therapist's office, I don't know, but church, we are not afraid to talk about death. We talk about it every Sunday. Mm. We have it in our services. We talk about our mortality, the fact that life is short. And so in some ways, for the Christian who's used to that, this is not a surprising week. Yeah. You know, maybe surprising that it happened to Kobe Bryant, but this is reality for the Christian. Yeah. And that's something hopefully people pay attention to and listen to, because everybody needs to think about that. People need to talk about death. And the beauty about church, too, is we don't just talk about our own death, but ultimately we're talking about Christ. And that's where the hope is. But how easily, with those two concepts, whether our own mortality or Christ's immortality and what he did for us, how often we try to just forget about that, or not talk about it, or not deal with it, or push it off for tomorrow.
Yeah.
But Kobe's story, if anything for me, Kobe's story is just a lasting reminder. You cannot push that off. Talk about it today and deal with it today.
In preparation for going back a smidge there of what you just said, in preparation for a sermon a while back, I was trying to find this children's nursery rhyme that dealt with death, and I never ended up finding it. I can't remember. I could only remember a few snippets of it. But when I was browsing these, you know, just doing Google searches, and stumbled across, you know, all these different forums and everything else, and one of the forums, it was people talking about dark nursery rhymes. And one of the nursery rhymes that someone said was the prayer that many of us said as children and say with our children. "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And this person said that, and she or he, I don't know who it was, but they said, you know, "It's so dark, and I never understood praying, and my last thought before before going to bed was that I could possibly die in my sleep. What a dark and terrible thing. And, you know, in her whole, just railing against Christianity as this, always holding death before you. Which is true, and you just brought that up. You know, one of the things that I kept seeing anytime you have a major death like this, you always hear the same things. It's, you know, life is short. You know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. Go home, hug your family. Go home, be with people that you care about. Tell them you love them. All that different stuff. And those are all things that are very true, and we should be doing those things. Because it's all true. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. But the most important one of all of those things that we need to be doing is gathering around our Savior. You know, it's the same thing that it's in the Psalms, I think, and in Hebrews. You know, and while it is still called today, you know, is the whole premise.
Teach us to number our days. Yeah.
It's, you know, be gathered around the Word of God right now, because you don't know what it's going to be doing tomorrow. I just looked up Kobe Bryant's career earnings, $770 million.
Yeah.
You think of a guy who is in peak physical health that has $770 million. Who can afford every method of life preservation that this earth can offer, whether it's security guards or, you know, helicopter flights with a professional pilot or, you know, all of those different things. And yet he died at age 41 with his 13-year-old daughter, which goes back to your point. It just proves that we don't know. You know, that's why it's so shocking to have him, of all the people in the world, to die on Sunday. It could really be me. And so, while it's still today, we need to keep track of what's truly important.
Yeah, and I think you bring up some excellent points of, if you're a parent, talk to your kids about death. You don't have to dwell on it. It doesn't have to be the daily discussion around the dinner table, but don't be afraid to talk to them, because they're going to have questions about it. I remember when my oldest son, Micah, was probably 3 or 4 years old, he told me flat out that he was afraid of dying.
Right.
And so people are going to be, whether or not you try to gloss over the topic or just say, I don't want to think about it today, or I'll put it off for later in life, you can't do that sometimes. Sometimes you need to address it and give your children what they need to hear. And I agree with you. It's like when situations like this happen, it's the moment that spurred it on is the moment of someone's death. But all we ever want to talk about is life. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about life right now, or the life of the deceased, or the life that we should be doing, or the relationships in life that are most important. But for the Christian, and ultimately for all people, the only way to get to eternal life, the only way to get to life with God, the only life that conquers death, is to go through the cross of Christ. And that's the strange reality, at least in human senses, that people will confront in church and in Christianity, is our emblem is an instrument of death. Mm-hmm. Our Savior is one who died for us. He gained the victory over death through his own death. And so, again, the message from my perspective is, you can't avoid the topic. Address it. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid to witness to others. Don't be afraid to pass it down to your family members, and to not just say, oh, we remember the person or rest in peace, but say, this is what Jesus has done. And I do take some comfort in the fact that whether it was Roman Catholicism or not, it seems like Kobe Bryant hopefully had heard that message about his Savior Jesus and believed it.
Right. No, I don't think I have anything I can add. I think you covered it real good right there.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time today, and hopefully that this discussion about, you know, two modern day situations that touch on our Christian faith, involving some pretty well-known sports personalities, I hope the conversation and the discussion today was good for our listeners. Please continue to support our podcast as you're able to. Subscribe, share it, tell others about it, and we pray that the content will be edifying for your faith. Thanks for joining me today, Sam, and catch the next Burden and Blessing podcast. We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord. and preach the word.